God, we thank you for this night as we remember your gathering with your disciples, Lord, in preparation for what was to come. The night that consisted in the clarity of your love and your service to your people, your betrayal, which led to the crowds of judgment, which would lead to the cross. But we thank you, Jesus, as well, as we know that this path also led to the resurrection. And so as we consider tonight the meal you share, the betrayal, and the cross, might we be prepared for Sunday as we celebrate the resurrection. And we pray this in your name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Our help is in the name of the Lord. In the past, God spoke through the prophets many times and in many ways. But in the last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe.
Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to him the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips that confess his name.
Praise the Lord. Shadow of prediction. Our first reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 31 to 38. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is to be glorified." And God glorified him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Yet you will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me, but you will follow me afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you? I will lay down my life for you." And Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our response is going to be with hymn number 482, Man of Sorrows. The offering was to be taken at that time. I'm going to push it back just a little bit since we missed it there. We can actually push it to the next response. The shadow of agony of spirit. Our reading is from Mark chapter 14, verses 32 to 42. And they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to they were greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." And he came and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and he prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for the eyes were very heavy. And they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our response will be 386, verses 1 to 3, and the offering will be taken now for the General Fund of Christian Education. Shadow of denial. Our reading comes from Matthew 26, verses 69 to 75. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you are too, are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times." And he went out and he wept bitterly. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our response is, oh, to see the dawn, and the verses are printed on your sheet. Number 4, the shadow of crucifixion. And our reading will be from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15. It'll be 21 to 32. And they compelled a passerby Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them. They decided what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by him derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Our response is the first verse, "There is a Redeemer," which is printed on page 2. Shadow of forsakenness. The gospel reading will be Mark chapter 15, 33 to 36. "And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthana,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' And some of the bystanders hearing it said, 'Behold, he is calling Elijah.' And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, 'Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So I've divided the message into two parts. I'll share the first part here. The second part will be before we take communion together. As one author points out, in Jerusalem, the traditional site for the Last Supper is above the palace where King David is believed to be buried. David was the great king of Israel, the forerunner of Jesus, the Messiah. But when you compare them both, you see very clearly their differences. David was very expansive in his power. Jesus gave up his power to take on flesh. David shed much blood for the kingdom. Jesus shed his own blood for the eternal kingdom. And so whether that's the site or not of the Last Supper, what is true is that Christ and his kingdom are always above David's, right? I mean, the principle is clear. They're always above David's. They're above all kings and rulers and authorities, right? Because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So here we are. We've considered a few things in the scriptures that have been read tonight to this point. But just considering the Last Supper, I mean, Jesus knew what was around the corner. There was no doubt in his mind what was coming. Those that were gathered with him didn't know specifically. He knew who was at the table with him, those that followed him and believed him, and the one that would betray him. He knew he would be handed over, and he knew it would lead to death. But he also knew it was time. His prayer, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Right? That was his mission. Do the will of God. Thy will be done. He had come to do the Father's will. So if you had a week to live, what would you do? How would you prioritize your time? Maybe take a trip that you hadn't been able to take yet your whole life. Maybe reconcile with somebody in your life who you need to be reconciled with. Maybe buy that boat real quick you've always wanted. What would you do with a week, right, if you had a week left? What would your week look like? I'm sure you would make sure all your affairs were in order. You would call family, you would call friends. But what would you do? So we have a glimpse here into the last hours of the life of Jesus. He knew the time was coming. What did he do, right? Well, he gathered his friends into the upper room to do what they did every year, to celebrate God's faithfulness to his people in the Passover feast. But this year was different. This was the year of his death. They were there to honor God, yes, to remember God passing over the sins of his people. Jesus knew what time was at hand, however. And he served his friends, right? This was the action he took towards those that were with him. He tied a towel around his waist. He poured some water into a basin. And he began to wash their feet. Why would he do this, right? I mean, sure, it was a culture. Everybody wore sandals. If you wore sandals, you walked in the dirt. If you walked in the dirt, your toes were dirty and you had to wash your feet. Jesus was washing the feet of his friends. They had to be washed, but that wasn't the point. It wasn't their feet alone that had to be made clean. That's not the point that Jesus was making. In fact, he was asked the question by Peter, "What are you doing?" Listen to this exchange from John 13, 6 to 11. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No, no," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." What was Jesus saying there? What was he teaching, right? Yeah, they all had dirty feet. That wasn't the point. They were dirty internally, and they had to be cleansed by Christ. And the same message is for us, right? Unless we come to the Lord and be cleansed from our dirt, our internal filth, our sin, we will have no part with him. So what was Peter's response? Did he get what Jesus was saying? Verses 9 to 11. "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." He got it, right? Do it. Wash it all. I want to part with you. Jesus answered him, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." So foot washing. I mean, maybe you've been in a service that people have done it. Some of you are like, "Uh-oh, what's coming here?" Right? I don't want to wash your feet. You probably don't want to wash mine either. It is a humbling thing if you've ever done that, even just to experience maybe what the feelings were like, right? I mean, just think about feet. Ironically, Kara and I were comparing feet last night, looking at the bones and the veins, and feet are just ugly, right? I think so, right? Some are calloused, some are stinky, some have warts. right? And that represents us apart from Christ. That's how we are, right? Internally apart from Christ, stinky, warded, calloused individuals. And Jesus says, let me wash you. But God, feet are gross. And he who knew no sin became sin for us, right? But yet many of us respond to Jesus the way we would respond to the person next to you wanting to wash your feet. We'd say, no, I am not taking off my socks, right? And we say that to Jesus. You're not going to touch me. I can do this. I can take care of this, God. And God says, unless you let him wash you, you can have no part with him. But we're afraid to get close to Jesus, right? What is it going to expose? What kind of warts are going to show? What if everybody sees the calluses and we're embarrassed of our lives, but Christ isn't, right? He knows it all. Every hair of our head is numbered, right? Maybe we've just forgotten what our feet look like. Maybe we've forgotten what our lives look like. We don't want to deal with sin. We don't want to. We don't like to see it. We'd rather ignore it and keep the dirty feet covered with socks and shoes. And when we do that, we fail to see our need for Jesus, right? Because we can cover our life so easy and not see that we need to be washed by Christ. I mean, maybe it's just the fear of going back to those things, right? Or maybe it's the fear that Jesus can't completely wash us. But Jesus is here. He's here to clean. This is what the message was to the disciples in that upper room. It is this: unless I wash you, you have no part with me. So how did Jesus use those last hours? By serving and preaching his gospel, the truth of what God had sent him to do. And he does the same for us tonight, right? At this time, in this place, is the message of Christ that he's brought to his disciples, and these words are brought to you as well. If you do not allow yourself, your life, to be touched by the hand of God in the person of Christ, you have no part in him. There were those around the table who did not want Jesus to touch them. And I hope there aren't any of those here tonight. So I ask you, wherever you are in your walk with Christ, just to release your hold on your life. Stop trying to control it. And let Jesus hold on to it. And in that, we acknowledge our guilt before God. We repent of sin, and we allow him to cleanse the dirt. Jesus didn't look to take a great vacation the last week of his life. He knew death was coming. Jesus took his life to serve his friends and then gave of his life on the cross for all who would trust in him. In those last hours, he gave his life for us. And our question is, will we receive that? Will we be cleansed? Let me pray. Jesus, we like to sing. We like to sit with those that we know and can talk to. We like the routine of church and of life. But we even know in these things we can miss you. And Jesus, we're here because of you, because of what you've done, because of what you are doing, and because of what you will do. And I pray that each person here, Lord, would know you in that cleansing way of belonging to you forever. So we thank you for the work that you have done, Lord, what you have come to do and accomplished. All that the Father sent you to do, you have done. All of our sin placed on you on the cross, reconciling us back to the Father. We thank you for your willingness to endure hellish torment on that cross, that we might be made right with God forever. We pray these things in your name. Amen. The next reading is from Matthew 27, the shadow of death. Read verses 45 to 54 of Matthew 27. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness all over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of the bystanders said, this man is calling Elijah. One of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But others said, wait, let's see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's take some time now and silently confess our sins to the Lord. Let's respond with page 165 in our hymnals. The reading. Oh, we have our readers come forward at this time.
In this reading,
you'll notice as we follow the reading, there are two readers, and there is the song, What Wondrous Love Divided. And so when the readers stop, when we get to the highlighted portion, we're going to sing that verse, then we'll stop as the reading picks up, and then we'll sing again.
My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, but I find no rest.
Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. and your ancestors put their trust. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame.
Not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him.
Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you. Even in my mother's breast, from birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there's no one to help.
I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel.
For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive.
Let's say the words of the Apostles' Creed together. Respond with hymn 384, verses 1 and 2. Thank you. So Jesus didn't only give his disciples a visual illustration of what he had come to do in the washing of their feet. They were in the upper room to eat. Peter had been asked to get the Passover meal ready, and here they were. The table was set, and Jesus was about to drive home the point of what the cleansing had meant upon their sin for eternity. And he would do it with the meal, the Passover meal. Listen to Luke 22. This is what we read, verses 7 to 16. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." Where do you want us to prepare for it? They asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters. And say to the owner of the house," the teacher asks, "where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared for the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." This is what the foot washing pointed to. This is what Christ had come to do in his cleansing. The true cleansing would take place on the cross. And this is how Jesus stated it. Verses 17 through 30. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." We're going to come to the table and be fed by our Lord, the bread and the juice. Before we come to the table, a couple readings from the book of Isaiah, Philippians, and John. Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 5. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.' Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Isaiah 53. Verses 3 to 6. "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed." From the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 11. "But whatever gain I had," the Apostle Paul wrote, "I count as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, through righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection of the dead." John 1, 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Then from Matthew 26 to 29. And as I read these words, Barbara's going to play the music, and I'm going to invite you, after I read the words, the front rows first. We'll start on this side. Come forward and go to the communion table. You'll be served the bread and the juice, and then you can circle back to your seat. Again, the words we just read, hear these again from Matthew 26, 26 to 29. Now as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and after he had broke it, he blessed it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood, the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of this vine until the day when I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer, and then you can come forward. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please come to the table.
Thank you.
Let's stand and sing verses 3 and 4 of When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Lord will commission and bless us with his word in the benediction. And after the words of the benediction, we ask that you leave in silence as we consider the suffering and the death of Christ, and then return again Sunday morning as we celebrate the resurrection. Receive these words. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you might do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory now and forever. Amen.